Look, if you will, in James, the first chapter. James, the book of James, first chapter, beginning at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Blessed is, and in verse 12, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we had in Sunday school and the beautiful promises of you in the word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this message and messages all through the word of God that strengthen us and help us and give us joy and peace as we live our life and raise our families and do the work that you've given us to do. And bless, be with friends. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless this day today. I ask, Lord, that the word of God would touch someone's heart and that we'd be touched and blessed and moved and fall in love more with you than we ever have been before. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us and all the people that are here, and ask your blessing upon this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I guess we were having the crippled Kincaids this morning. He's ugly too, isn't he? Look at him. Oh, no, he's handsome. What are you talking about? He's mine, I mean, you know. Hey, you having fun today? I am. Bless your heart. I want to talk to you about the trying of your faith. It's not an easy subject, and it's not an easy experience. Now, we are blessed by faith in so many, many ways. You get saved by faith. You have joy and peace by faith. You know what's going to happen in the future by faith. And God gives many, many blessings in your heart and life, and you believe the word of God. And that's by faith. And so all of these things, even the keeping of your soul, so many people think that when you talk about eternal security, you're thinking you're so strong, you're going to be so faithful, you're going to last to the end, you'll never fail. No, that's not it at all. It's kept by the power of God.
Amen.
I'm not keeping myself. I couldn't keep myself one day. I doubt you would too either.
Amen.
But when God does it, and he gives you a gift, he's not rewarding you for your special faithfulness. Your salvation depends upon the power of God, the righteousness of God. And we're by faith. And the what you get by faith, you just produce the faith. You believe the word of God, and God does the keeping.
Amen.
A tried faith. That's in the faith that's experienced. And the Bible gives us many, many examples. I don't know how many times I have believed something and then I had it not turn out. How many times have I made plans and I thought that they were good plans and thought out plans and somehow they didn't work out? How many times have you decided you're going to do something? You ever had to change your mind? Yeah, I used to say all the time, I don't say it as much as I used to, but you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. You know what? Your faith gets tested and tried. And what we have in the Bible are many examples of a faith that gets tested. And sometimes people don't live up to their faith. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of people tell me, I'm going to do this. They don't do it. A lot of people promise all sorts of things throughout the years. I've dealt with men. I've been a pastor 65 years. Started at 20. I've seen an awful lot of promises go down the wayside. Have you? Why do you think they want guarantees of different things? Why would you get insurance to cover you when something might not happen? Why do you want it written out clearly? Because people change their minds, and there's a lot of people that lie. You ever met a liar? You ever looked in the mirror? James says, knowing this, this is something we know. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay, this is the famous verse. And it's quoted many, 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 many times. Now, patience is a wonderful thing. I don't really want God to give me patience, because that's going to be a lot of trials and testings for me to come in. I don't pray, say, Lord, send me some trials. Now, you may want to have some trials. I don't want any trials. What few I've had, I didn't exactly appreciate. Wasn't any fun. You stub your toe, or you get sick, or you have a fuss or a fight or something like that. And then what are you going to do? Sometimes you're going to do the wrong thing. And so your faith is tested and tried. Now, we've got examples of it many times in the Bible. And the Bible says that he that endureth temptation is going to get a crown of life. So there's something very valuable out there in keeping your word. Your word is an important thing in your life. The trial of your faith, more precious than gold, is what it says in 1 Peter 1:7, that perisheth. That it be tried with fire might be found unto praise, honor, glory, when? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily here. You may not see the fruit of your patience. You may not have a successful outcome of certain things that you've tried to do and you've worked at, and you're trying and working and doing your best to produce something. And the trial of your faith, precious, precious unto God, precious in the future. No trial of your faith for you, not now, feels good. It feels tough. You counted on one thing, it doesn't happen. You counted on the word of a certain person, they don't come through. They let you down. And so we know that sometimes the praise and the honor and the glory is going to have to be at the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Amen. And he's coming again. Amen. Now, one example, and I could pick many from the Bible because it's a book of faith, really, is Joseph. You remember the child Joseph, Jacob's son? Joseph was a good man. He was a good kid, too. He could be trusted by his dad. And the other kids weren't exactly that way. They were normal kids. They were messing up and doing the wrong things and whatever. Well, Joseph would tell on him. Well, that didn't make him too... that didn't make them too happy with him and his experience, because he was going to tell Dad the truth. Now, a tried faith is what he had. Now, from Genesis chapter 37 and on, the rest is the life you can find of Joseph in the Bible in Genesis. Now, he dreamed a dream, a couple of them actually, and he dreamed a dream whereby he was the Lord, the king, the ruler, and everybody's bowing before him. And he told his brothers. That might not have been the smartest thing to do. Told his brothers that. You go, well, we're the older than you, we're smarter than you, we're tougher than you, we're going to be bowing before you. It made him mad, upset him, made him jealous. And then his daddy got him a coat of many colors. He didn't buy 12 of them. He just bought one, just fixed one. Well, that didn't make his brothers any happier. So they're having a problem with this fellow. He dreamed a dream and he told it to his brothers. And you know, Jacob sent Joseph out to check on the boys and the herds and whatever. And he knew if he went out there, he would tell the truth. Well, the brothers saw him coming way down the way. They began to talk about even killing him. And then they decided, let's put him in a pit. So they dropped him down, I guess, in a well, in a pit somehow. And they came, some travelers along, some merchantmen, and they sold him as a slave. Now, he's 17 years old when he's sold as a slave. He went into Egypt, and he was sold as a slave in Egypt. He had a good job. He was working well for this man, and everything was going fine. Joseph was, he was a very good man. And he kept everything upright. He was as honest as he could be. And his master's wife decided she wanted to play around. Well, he didn't do it. He ran out, left his cloak. He ended up being put in prison. And you ever think about how long he was in prison? He was 17 years old when he was sold as a slave. Probably about 18 or 19 maybe when he went to prison. He took over the kingdom of Egypt as its chief president when he was 30. How about 13 years testing your faith? He had the dream. God showed him what was going to happen. He announced that to his dad and mom and to the brothers, and they didn't like it. What's he doing? He's in a slave. He's a slave. And then he's not a slave. He's a prisoner. And in the prison there for 13 years. How long did it take for his dream to come true? 13 years. I don't like waiting, do you? Waiting's tough. Tough on a lot of things. We're very impatient people. But Joseph here, he's in Egypt. He's in a prison in Egypt. And he happens to be a real close servant of the Lord. And the Lord deals with him in dreams. And so he knew how to interpret dreams. And so somebody in the prison, Baker and some other servant, they had their dreams. And he interpreted their dreams, and their dreams came, and his interpretation became true. Well, they got a reputation. Pharaoh is a young Pharaoh, by the way. And he has a dream. And somebody tells him there is a prisoner that can interpret dreams. So what they had to do, they had to give him a bath and give him some new clothes and make him presentable before he comes in before the Pharaoh. He tells him his dream. And the Pharaoh says, well, who would be a smarter man to run the country than the fellow that had the dream? And so he makes him the prisoner. He went from the prison to the head of the government. Nobody was over him except Pharaoh. Wow. Do you know what? Everything he did just was so successful. He, in fact, turned the whole country and the rich men, whatever, all of it became the Pharaoh's. Because of the famines that were coming, and they had the grain that was there. He was saving the grain and preparing for the famine that was going to come. And then how the brothers got in there was they had no food where they were. They had to go to Egypt to buy it. And so they'd take their camel trains or mule trains or whatever. And they'd go there and they would buy and come back. Well, Joseph is not known to his brothers. They think he's dead. They don't think he's this guy they're talking to. He's dressed like an Egyptian. He's married an Egyptian wife. He's the head of the government. They would never have thought, this is my brother. Well, he wanted to test them. And the story is beautiful. He tested them in several ways and found out they'd changed some since they sold him in slavery. His little brother didn't get treated that same way. You know how? Joseph was 30 years old. He begins to reign. He did right and suffered for 13 years. Did right and suffered. Doesn't it make you mad when you do right and somebody makes it wrong? That just, you know, somebody can't accept it. They tell lies on you. You ever had any lies told on you? You probably have. I've had plenty. Sometimes they've made me so mad. And you know what? I came to a verse, and it's in the 12th chapter of Romans. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Can you believe that? You can believe that. I remember a time when a man stole some money from me and lied in a revival meeting that I was preaching. And I got through with the revival meeting. Daddy invited me over and the family over for lunch. He said, "Well, son, what kind of an offering did you get in that revival?" I say, "Well, Dad, they gave me $100. And his jaw dropped. You see, that preacher got up every night and said, "Every dime that comes in will go to the evangelist." And then they gave me $100. I didn't know how much money came in. My daddy said, "I gave you a lot more than $100, son." My daddy was a sweet Christian, but he never gave me any money through any church again. Why? Somebody let him down. Somebody had lied. Oh, I was mad. I was so mad. I was somewhat of a fighter from the time I was 6 years old on up the rest of my life till I got saved. And I wanted to go beat that preacher up. Oh, I wanted to. I got so mad that lunch with my dad sitting there, and they'd hurt him, and he had trusted him, and wow, I was mad. And I thought, well, I better not do that. I might do more damage than I should do, and then God would have to pay me back. I decided I'm going to trust the Lord. But I went and I made an appointment with this preacher, and I went to him and I told him, I said, "Why did you lie to those people?" We had a great revival. It was back when we didn't have air conditioning. And it was about half as wide as this and a little bit longer. And it was full every night. And they had the windows open. No air conditioning. And people are standing outside at the windows. We had a tremendous revival. Had people saved and a wonderful, good experience. And then I'm mad because the guy stole from me and hurt my dad. Worse than the money that he stole from me, he hurt my dad. My dad was a sweet Christian. Oh, I wanted to beat him up. And I told him, "I really wanted to just beat the snot out of you, boy." But you know, I read my Bible and it said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." I'm giving you over to the Lord. Right now, I'm not going to touch you. I'm going to let God, if there's anything right in what I've done, anything right in my judgment as I've made it, God will take care of it. You're a liar and you're a cheat. You stole things and you hurt a sweet Christian man by your cheating. Within 6 months, that pastor was accused of fondling a woman at the altar. I don't know how you get away with fondling a woman at the altar, you know. I don't know. He was kicked out, run off. The church disappeared, and it's not there. Within 6 months' time, it was all gone. Do you know, you might ought to let God take care of some of your vengeance. And after that, I haven't had any problems since then. I don't even think about fighting. I say, "Lord, I may be wrong. I may be right." How's your faith tested? It was tested in lots of different ways. Am I going to believe the book? Do you believe God will make things right? Do you think God will repay? Well, I believe He will. I believe what it says right there in Romans, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I believe that's true. Amen. And you know what happens? That lets me sleep better. You ever thought about it? How much time you spend at night over what somebody said? Or what somebody did? And you're burning and burning and burning and you're thinking in what I can tell them and what I should tell them and how much do I want to tell them? Anybody have an experience like that? Amen. I think a few of you did. All of you do.
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Do you believe that? Can you believe the word of God? Can you believe God will make all things right?
Yes.
He's not going to miss out on anything unless you get in and mess it up. That's let me sleep for 40 years. I can say, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to put my strength or my energy into it. I'm going to leave it in your hands and take it.
Yeah,
it's been a much better answer than all the fighting I did when I was a young person. Waterman. Anyway. He did right for 13 years, and every time he did right seemed like something happened. That was a man who was really tested. And yet he seemed to have a good spirit, whether he's running the country or whether he's in a prison. He had a spirit. He trusted in God. He trusted in his dream. He trusted as a revelation of God Almighty. And what an attitude. Joseph is one of the most beautiful characters in all the Bible. Do you reckon that 13 years of suffering, would it be worth living 110 years old? Being a ruler, a strong person for all these years? Wow. He was like the king of Egypt for 70-something years. Wow. The Pharaoh backed him, thought about him, trusted him, put things in his hands. That's a tried faith. Now, during the 13 years when his faith is being tried, he seems to have a good spirit. Can you keep a good spirit or do you have to fuss and fight? Fussing and fighting doesn't get you very well. Criticizing and talking about people and getting mad or even getting mad at God. I've known people get mad at God. I've heard people tell them, well, God didn't do this. I'm not going to worship him. I'm not going to honor him. I'm not, no, big mistake. Big mistake. God is a faithful God. God is a loving God. God is an all-knowing God. You know, he's so much smarter than you. He's so much smarter than me. We don't have enough sense to know what we ought to do. We have to trust God and trust God by faith that he wants the best for us even though we can't see it. Sometimes we can't. It's a hard thing to do. In fact, 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You might have read some book like Fox's Book of Martyrs about what Christians have suffered over the years at the hands of the world, at the hands of government, and whatever. What do you say? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to stand with God? Well, I think it is. And you need to think that way. That's what the Bible wants to do. And that's the reason why they have all these different testimonies in there, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Get thrown in a fiery furnace. Wow, and they're walking around down there with Jesus. And the king's looking into the door there. I thought I threw in three. Where'd the fourth one come from? Praise God. You know, well, they said, we're not really worried about this king. Because either way, we're going to be out of your hands. If we die, we're out of your hands. And they're walking around with Jesus, fellowshipping right there in the fire. Converted to king. Trial of your faith. God doesn't answer sometimes. Might be sickness, pain. How about death? I've seen some awful inconvenient deaths in my life. I've seen some awful inconvenient problems and troubles. And somebody has to say, can I trust God? Can I trust God? And I know I've seen some people that think, I'm not going to trust God because, why? My mother died, or my son died, or my daughter died. You take someone like Job. He loses 10 sons and wealth and health. All of a sudden, tremendous. His wife tells him, curse God and die. And I used to criticize her a little bit in my thinking. Why don't you back him up? Come on, wife, back him up. But you know, she lost 10 babies too. And you know, they never got those 10 back. They got 10 more. But those first 10, they didn't get back. That's a tough time. That's a tough time. Your kid, you got a little baby born and it's got cancer. What is the kid doing with cancer? You going to get mad at God or are you going to trust Him? Well, your best bet is to trust God. God's a lot smarter than you are. And I tell you what, He's sure a lot smarter than me. Wow, what a wonderful thing to be able to trust God in the midst of prison. You ever heard of a fellow by the name of Watchman Nee? Maybe you read a book or two from Watchman Nee. He was a Chinaman, Chinese Christian, very, very famous man in his day. When the communists took over, they arrested him, tried him, put him in prison. He spent 20 years in a communist prison. The only person that could visit him was his wife. And when she died, he couldn't get any visits. And the last little note, you know, prisons, they shove things around, you know, scoot things around, whatever, hide things. The last note that came out was, I maintain my joy. Wow. I've never suffered like that. I don't think you've ever suffered like that. The Bible is a story of people who have done right many times and suffered some great, great problems. Some great pain and suffering. Can you trust God when He doesn't answer the prayer the way you want it to be answered? You ought to be able to. If you know God and you know God is worked out, what does Romans also tell us? Everything's going to turn out good. God's got it turned. I don't know what the verse is. I'm thinking.
Romans 8:28.
Yes.
For all things work together for good to them that love God.
All things work together for good. All things. Amen. That's bad things. That's suffering. That's death. That's loss.
Amen.
That may be war. It may be a disease or something. It may be an indescribable pain. And yet He doesn't say all things are good. He says, we know, and it's a we know thing, we know that all things work together. You know what? I think Joseph, in his experiences in the prison, probably got an education and made him a much better man. He had tough times. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. If you want anything from God, you want grace and peace. Amen. You want peace between you and God. You want peace between you and your family. You'd like to be living in a land of peace. How about grace? Grace is the favor of God that you do not deserve. I have lived a life of grace. I did not deserve. Not the blessings that I've had, not the things that God has done, and not my salvation or what my future is going to bring. I didn't deserve it. Amen. I'm not going to heaven because I'm so faithful. I'm not going to heaven because I'm so smart. I'm going to heaven because God gave me a gift. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wow. Grace and peace be multiplied. I'd pray that prayer for you. I wish you'd pray that prayer for me. Why don't we pray for all of us? Multiply our grace. Multiply our peace. Oh God, draw near to us. Draw close to us. Get our heart. Hold us in the hollow of your hand. Grace and peace. Now in verse 3 says that his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Some of you don't study your Bible like you ought to, and some of you have not read it as you ought to have in a long time. But you ought to, because the knowledge of what this book says is what brings grace and peace to you. It brings a knowledge, you see, of God's handling of things, of God's mercy and God's love. Wow, tremendous. Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Savior, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, it's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Wow. Your sins can be forgiven. Is that a great promise? Wow, it is. All sins can be forgiven. You can walk into any prison, go to the worst murderer that's there and tell him, if you'll trust Christ, he can forgive your sins. And he can. And he can. Paul killed no telling how many people. Other people have been the same thing. I don't know about that thief that hung on the cross with the Lord Jesus. I don't know what he might have done. But you know what? Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. Is that a precious promise? Amen. Well, when he decided to save me, I thought it was a precious promise. When I finally believed it and understood it and thought about what God had done in my life and was going to do in my life, wow, that is a great promise and precious promise. Some of you are pretty sorry I wouldn't save you. You probably think the same thing about me. I wouldn't give my son for any of you. Would you? God did. God did. Well, I tell you what. Exceeding great, precious promises. And you know one of them? Partakers of the divine nature. What there? In there? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. By these great promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow. Son of God. Family of God. With God. He said, I'm going to come back for you and take you where I am. What a beautiful promise. You don't deserve it. No, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. Nobody that you know deserves it. But it's a promise. A great, big, wonderful promise. Joseph had a tried faith. He did right and suffered. Then finally, he came through. And God Almighty took care of him very well. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come. I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to come in power, and he's going to straighten things out. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When does the thief come? When you expect him? Does the thief call you up and say, I'm going to stop by your house at 2 a.m. and steal your car? Does he say, get all your money out, put it on the couch because I'm going to break in? I'm going to take your jewels. I'm going to take your guns. I'm going to take your crystal. I'm going to take whatever you think is valuable. They don't do that. They sneak. They come surprised. Every once in a while, I look around computer things that I see on the thing. And they're talking about, well, there was somebody robbed here and this car was broken in here and whatever. They don't come when you expect them. If he did, you'd sit up, you'd set your alarm. I'd say they're coming at 2. Set my alarm at 1:30 and get my gun. Be ready. Doesn't happen that way. Thief comes in the night. Comes when you don't expect it. That's how Jesus Christ is coming. You may not believe he's coming, but he is. Now, in 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then, here's a thought that the scripture is giving you, that all these things that are going to be burned up shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be? That new car you got, it's going to be dissolved. I think it's a nice church building. Going to be dissolved. You see the big city of San Antonio down there, 7th largest in the United States, going to be dissolved. You see those big bridges and things that they're building and those great big high buildings, going to be dissolved. You know what he says? He said, the heavens shall pass away. This is 2 Peter 3:10, with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Where did Peter get that? Got it from God. He didn't get it from the science of his day. In fact, we didn't even have an atomic bomb until World War II and Japan. Wow. That's taking elements and they explode. All this stuff is going to burn. Now, why are you living so much for it? Had you think a little bit more about you ought to live for God? You ought to get your faith right in the Word of God? He said in 2 Peter 3:12, the heavens being on fire in the day of God, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Wow. What you're looking at is temporary. What you want is eternal. You want a house that's going to be forever. You want a family that's going to be forever. You want God for a father. Jesus for a brother. Wow. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That's what we want. Jude chapter, verse 24. Jude, just one little chapter. But I got a beautiful verse right here. One you ought to think about. Maybe mark it in your Bible. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Wow. And to present you faultless through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. It's all God. The planning is from God. The carrying it out is from God. His plan, his way, by faith, by grace. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is not a reward. Oh, there are going to be rewards. God's going to see all of our work, see what we've done and what we haven't done. But it's the gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. You don't deserve heaven. You never were that good, and you're not that good now. You're not strong enough to keep it. And if God didn't move upon your heart, you'd sure have a hard time with Joseph's 13 years. Wouldn't you? I'd have a hard time that. I 13 days would be bad enough for me. It's all of God. Can't you see that? Revelation 3:18, we have an invitation. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Why? That you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mightest see. Believe the promise of God, trust the promise of God, call on God and submit to Him, make Him Lord, and thank Him for so great a salvation. Trust Him. You may be here today, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You may have been a church member. You may be a nice, upstanding person in the community. But you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to take Him by faith as your righteousness. He provided it for you. He saves your soul. He can forgive all your sin. You can walk into the presence of heaven in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Perfect righteousness, the righteousness of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wrote my name in there 65 years ago. God so loved Lendell Kincaid that if he'll believe and trust in God, God will save him and change him. Take him to heaven forever. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Don't try. I don't think you could be as good as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was probably one of the most righteous Jews of his day. And probably the most righteous man of many, many generations. And he said, it's all done. All of his own righteousness, just done. To have Christ, that's riches. Great riches. Call upon the Lord. God loved you. He gave His only begotten Son. Trust Him. Why not believe the Word and believe the promises of God? And let it change your life. May God bless you. May God help you. That you can trust Him. And you have a little bit of what Joseph had. 13 years of disappointment. 13 years of knowing the promise of God. And yet, without realizing it. And yet the day He finally came. And he lived to be 110 years old. And when Moses went out of Egypt, he carried his bones. Joseph got out. You hear today, may God bless you. May you seek His face. May you ask the Lord to come into your heart and give you peace. And you know, man, in this world we need peace. So many things can come in. Sickness, death, disappointment, war, famine. You need the Lord. You need to be trusting His Word. Trust Him. Trust Him. Believe Him. Stick your head in this Bible every once in a while. Maybe every day. Day for a little while. Memorize some verses. Some of these verses that I've read to you today, they're beautiful, they're gorgeous, they're powerful. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lord, bless your word. Have your way in our lives. Lord, we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this food. We thank you, the Lord, that you've saved our souls and changed our lives, and you've given us friends, and brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
There was only one minor error. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.